T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We have somebody else that will be joining us here shortly, I think.
Is the Republican representative from the 86th General Assembly District serving Durham, Guilford, North Branford, and Wallingford, Vincent Candelora. Vincent, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Morning,
good,
sir.
Thanks. We originally wanted to get you on to talk about Eversource, which seems to be a popular topic with everybody, and you, among many others, not happy with their response to Esaias. Of all the things that they did wrong, and let's be honest, they did a lot wrong, what annoyed you the most?
Well, I think the biggest issue was communication. You know, if you could get information and be told, we're going to be at X location right on this day, and power will be restored in 3 days or 2 days, not knowing was probably the most frustrating thing for, you know, customers and for us as legislators.
And I would imagine that you're the guy, well, you and the mayors of your towns, they'd be the ones you call, so you have no idea.
Yeah, it was very difficult. So we just had numerous calls from people, and not being able to give information is you know, not only is it embarrassing, but it's frustrating for people because they can't plan.
And it all started the day of the storm, or the day after the storm, when the governor held a press conference and the CEO wouldn't even come out and take questions. That's not exactly, to me, that's not exactly sterling leadership.
No.
Yeah, I think that was a bad judgment call. I think the CEO should have come out and responded to questions. Again, that was sort of indicative of the entire storm, this lack of transparency and conversation.
Well, you know, PURE is looking into this. There'll be hearings, of course, at the Capitol. A lot of people are very one way or the other. How many people are going to be looking into this? PURE sounds like they're going to go top gun. They're going right into this.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say about PURE is that they're the ones that have given them the rate increases to begin with. And so I think the legislature is really going to need to step in and take a look at this more deeply, not just with storm response, but also the way electricity is procured. You know, having it being a regulated industry with a monopoly and these high profit margins, you know, something has to be done with this. We have the highest energy costs in the country. We need to address it.
This all sounds good, and obviously the constituents have faith in our legislators to get this done. But we heard the same song and dance in 2011 and 2012, and it didn't seem like things changed at all. What will be different this time around?
I think what you may see is more conversation about changing the procurement process and also taking a look at to what degree Eversource should be in the generation market. You know, we've heard about the Millstone deal and how that rose prices.
Right.
But that didn't necessarily do it. It's sort of odd, but in a nutshell, you know, with that deal, Eversource purchases Millstone power
right,
and then sells it back to the grid, and then they go back and purchase power for us. So the ratepayers end up paying potentially more money for electricity that they could have gotten for cheaper. So we really have to take a look at that procurement process.
Vincent Candelora is with us. Just very quickly, you represent one town that I think has their own power. That's Wallingford. And Will Marotti, who lives in Wallingford, said that they never went out.
Yeah, Wallingford, you know, half of my district is covered by Wallingford Electric, which certainly makes my life easier because they are so proficient that I get very little complaints from anybody on Wallingford Electric. And, you know, they have a smaller area to cover, but they certainly, you know, it's all relative, all proportional, but they're just very responsive to their customers. And it is a municipal system, so they're not making, you know, they're not profit driven the way Eversource is.
When you look at the way things were done as a whole, how long it took some people to get their power back, I mean, upwards of 9 or 10 days, how feasible is it? You know, everybody talks about putting the lines underground, but in this state, how feasible is that?
Yeah, I'm not sure it is. I remember, you know, there's been talk about that, and I think it is a very expensive proposition. You know, no doubt this storm was a bad storm, but, you know, we really, I think it was underclassified, and we didn't have enough manpower out there fixing the lines. I think putting this stuff underground would ultimately end up costing a lot more money for ratepayers.
Yeah. Well, you want to move on to the other thing, Joe, about the football thing?
Yeah, let's do that. The real hot-button topic, as you know, Vin, has been the CIAC's decision to push forward with the fall sports plan. You, who are involved, you run a very good facility, a Sportsplex facility down in the Brantford area, and the Berlin High coach, Mr. Eric Simowitz, who also has been the speaker, both came out yesterday in support of the fall sports plan. But then we hear from the Department of Public Health that recommends that girls volleyball and football be pushed into the spring. Do you wish the CIAC had waited until they had gotten the recommendation from the Department of Public Health?
No, I wish the Department of Public Health would have engaged a little bit more. You know, we have had sports in Connecticut operating since June 20th. The CIAC came out with their recommendations on July 31st. So to suggest that they should have waited is sort of a false narrative that DPH has created. All they did the other day was just reaffirm that they're staying the course of what they proposed on July 31st. And so for 2 weeks now, DPH has chosen to not weigh in on any of this. And even going back to June, they haven't weighed in on any of this. And from my perspective, being somebody that's been operating with sports since June 20th, nobody from DPH has had a conversation to look at all the sports that are going on outside throughout the entire state of Connecticut, and we don't have surges anywhere. And I think that it's worth the risk to our children to try to get them back on these fields. They are underestimating the impact that this pandemic has had on our kids, and I always have felt that they have not sufficiently taken these children into consideration. They're the least impacted from a medical perspective by this disease, but they are most impacted by all these decisions that government is making for them.
You've been running a sports complex for quite a while down in Guilford, I think it is, and you've been open since June 20th. What kind of sports are you playing?
Yeah, I mean, we have 7-on-7 football. We've had lacrosse. We have softball. We have baseball, field hockey, pretty much all of the outdoor turf sports. And I have to say, we have had zero surges. We communicate with these clubs. They have not had any problems. I think we had two individuals that played on baseball teams that were tested positive in a different league in New Haven. And what was interesting is, despite them being positive, they didn't transmit the disease to anybody on their team. So, you know, I personally think that the outdoor transmission is very difficult, which science has continued to prove. I think if we're going to have an issue in our schools, it's going to be in the classroom. And so I agree this decision isn't easy, but to just summarily dismiss sports because we're afraid is wrong. And I think we need to look at the science. We need to look at how they had anticipated a surge after June 20th when sports started up.
Right.
And we saw no surge. And so science needs to take a look at this and say, you know what, these kids might be okay. My daughter's been playing soccer since June 20th, and she's had no issues with her entire club program.
Interesting. The 7-on-7 football, is that contact, or is that just passing drills?
No, it's contact. I mean, it's you know, touch football sort of, but, you know, my son's been playing that since, you know, July 6th. And okay. It's you know, it's contact similar to basketball. You have no pads. They're running on the field. They're catching the ball. They're making contact with people. You know, and soccer is similar. And as I said, you know, we continually hear from epidemiologists how difficult it is for it to transmit outside. And right. when we hear about athletes getting these, you know, getting COVID, like the Marlin players, that occurred because they all went to a bar.
Right.
So I think the conversation we need to have with our children is, look, here's the incentive. You could play sports, but you need to stay, you know, stay away from parties. The other thing is, you know, DPH keeps comparing our decision-making to colleges. And college settings with dorm rooms are very different than 12 to 18-year-olds. And, you know, colleges, they're going to go to bars. They're going to hang out with each other. They're in close quarters. So I can understand how, unless you're testing every day, sports are much more difficult at the collegiate level.
Right.
But I think youth sports, we really have to look at and treat differently. And
Okay.
Yeah, and we don't have enough time, but I was going to ask you if you'll be all right without the Nittany Lions playing this year, but we got to run. So, hey, Vin, thanks for the time. We appreciate the insight. Stay safe.
Thank you.
All right.
You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.